Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Lou Ann Crane.
Welcome to Family Talk. Our topic for today is kids in sports, something that most of you have probably dealt with at some point. And I can say that fairly confidently because in the U.S., about 30 million kids and teens participate in some form of organized sports every year. And Dad, out of that number, Children's Hospital of Boston reports that 3 million kids are injured every year during games or practice.
Well, there are many parents that have made that trip to the hospital after a son or daughter has been injured during sports activities. And in fact, Ryan, you were one of them over and over again.
Many times. In fact,
I've said on occasion that there's an entire wing of Methodist Hospital in Arcadia, California that is dedicated to you. But we know that there are ways to minimize the risk to young athletes. And our guest today has plenty to tell us about that subject. Joining us by phone is Dr. James Andrews. He is internationally known in the orthopedic field for his scientific and clinical research in the areas of knee, shoulder, and elbow injury prevention and treatment. He's a founding member of the Andrews Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Center in Birmingham, Alabama, where he sees most of his patients. And to be honest, we'd be here all day if we read all of his honors and degrees. But let me just say that he sees patients regularly from the NBA and the NFL. And I think it'd be fun to just indicate some of his patients as a way of starting. In the NFL, Bo Jackson, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Brett Favre are just a few of them. In the basketball arena, the NBA, Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Allen Iverson, and on it goes. But his most important patient above all else, I mean at the top of the list, is me, because I have been Dr. Andrews' patient when I ripped my shoulder for, I think, the fourth time. And here I am 3 years later, and I can put my arm straight up, and I never even had surgery. So I have reason to appreciate this man. Dr. Andrews, thank you for taking the time to be with us by phone today.
Well, thank you very much.
You and I were talking a few days ago, and you said something that led to this program. You are very, very concerned about sports injuries that are occurring at a younger and younger age, and especially for middle and high school students and athletes. And you have given a great deal of your time and energy to helping to prevent those injuries. Put that into words for our listeners today and tell them what you told me about your concerns about these early injuries.
Well, there's no question about there being an epidemic of injuries in youth sports across the board, in all 20-plus youth, individual youth sports and team sports. We understand from our research here at the American Sports Medicine Institute in Birmingham that we've had an increase in youth sports injuries across the board some 5 to 7-fold since year 2000. The thing that's so distressing is that children have become more and more vulnerable because of our $5 billion per year youth sports industry.
Yeah.
So there's tremendous pressure from parents, coaches, kids themselves to excel in sports.
Why is that? Why do you think that more and more younger kids are getting involved in activities that put them at risk?
Two major reasons. First is specialization. And the second is professionalism, or treating them as professional athletes at a very young age. And parents and these young kids feel the pressure to compete, for example, at all costs. And therefore, we're seeing this, what we call an epidemic of adult-type injuries in youth sports.
Would it be accurate to say that they're not only aiming at a professional sports career, but college athletics, which will give them scholarships and pay for their way through school? Is that also a motivation for parents?
That absolutely is part of the pressure. And that's a legitimate goal, but it can't be at the expense of the kid getting an adult-type injury by the pressures that are put upon them to participate at a young age in high school and junior high school.
Well, that's well said. I read in your website that there are two kinds of sports injuries, acute and overuse. Explain those.
Well, the overuse injuries, of course, occur over time from year-round sports, specialization, from just pure overuse, and they're more of a chronic type injury, such as, for example, a stress fracture in the tibia from cross-country running year-round. And then the other injury is more acute, and that's really our traumatic injuries, the ACL injury, for example, or the sprained ankle, or the dislocated shoulder from playing soccer or playing football, diving, or whatever.
If you were, and you probably were, the father of a boy, would you let him play football at in junior high, we'll say, or in high school?
Well, I grew up playing four sports. I think that the lessons you learn from team sports is very valuable for the rest of your life. However, parents must realize the risk of injury. And when we talk about football injuries, you got to realize there are 900,000 significant football injuries per year in high school in the United States, 900,000. And there are some catastrophic injuries related to football, as you well know. So there are risks involved in all of these sports, particularly the contact collision sports like football. But, yes, I would let my son play. If my sons did play, my grandson right now is a sophomore in high school, 10th grader, playing football. I worry about him, but he participates. He has good coaching, good protective equipment. He conditions properly, and therefore I would consider it a safe sport for him with some reservations.
Well, there's some injuries that occur not from organized sports, but from very disorganized sports. Ryan, you're sitting here as a former skateboarder.
Former?
Ryan, you must be a daredevil then.
I was. Growing up, I just had that adrenaline rush. I've been skateboarding since I was about 6 years old, and I've got a four-year-old now who just had his first big fall about 2 months ago, and it shook everybody up. But
hey, preach to him, Dr. Andrews.
he is always on a helmet.
I've had a lot of skateboarders in my career, but it's amazing they all survive. But I'm not sure I've had any influence over the injuries in those categories.
Well, as a parent, and fortunately both my kids are grown and they're alive, which was a question at one point. How do you keep kids from injuring themselves? And that is the topic of your website. Let me start with this question. Are you suggesting that parents keep their kids out of some sports if they're so dangerous?
No. You know, my whole goal in this discussion is, and what I'm doing with our national initiative through our American Orthopedic Society of Sports Medicine. By the way, that initiative is the so-called STOP program.
Yes, we want to talk about that.
And our goal, our motto, is to keep the kids on the playing field and out of the operating room.
Yeah.
So we believe in sports. But common sense will prevent about 50-60% of those overuse injuries. The number one problem in sports, youth sports, related to an injury is still improper technique, which means you need good coaching and you need to be taught, and that's particularly important in football. For example, head-up tackling. Don't tackle with your head down. These are a list of things that create injuries. Number one is improper technique. Number two is ill-fitting equipment, training errors, coach parental pressure, failure of early recognition of an injury. Minor injuries lead to major injuries. shift to single sport specialization, and then kids that are involved in a sport with inherent musculoskeletal imbalance. In other words, they're put into a sport where they're genetically and physically more prone to injury, and perhaps they should be in a different sport. And those are really the things that parents need to know. And if they follow common sense, grassroots educational efforts that we're trying to do, it'll help prevent about 50-60% of all these injuries.
You know, the sport that we followed when our kids were coming into the teen years was skiing. We loved it. I can't tell you what that sport meant to us as a family. We had a little condo up in Mammoth, California, and we would go up there as often as we could. And our two children, Ryan and Danae, absolutely loved it. And Shirley broke her leg with a spiral fracture of the tibia when the kids were still young. Ryan was about 2 years of age, so we paid a price for it. And 1 year, Ryan was buzzing through the trees the way he had a way of doing. You have to know that Ryan was his own man, even at that age. And he was coming through the trees, and he came to a little hill, and what he thought was just a little hill, but it turned out to be a small cliff. And he flew through the air and landed on his back and was knocked out. And the ski patrol came along, and they put him on a gurney, and they took him down to the hospital. And they looked for us for 2 hours, and for those 2 hours they couldn't treat him because, the limitations on what treatment can be given to a child. You remember that day, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well.
it was the first of a few times being taken down on stretcher.
How do you feel about skiing? That is a dangerous sport.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to get you in trouble.
One of our family, big things our family has always done. We went to Snowmass every year. We were casual skiers, and we were probably more vulnerable coming from the South, skiing not very often. We'd go out and ski. We were rusty, and our family had probably a fairly risky injury situation doing what we did. And as a matter of fact, my son Archie, who sounds very much like your son Ryan, broke his arm on the ski slopes and out in Vail. I had to set his arm behind one of the shacks up on the mountain myself. He'll never forget that. Then my wife was trying to learn to ski and really didn't like it. She tore her anterior cruciate ligament. I try to tell all my patients that when they're going skiing, don't ski in the fog. Don't ski all day long until you get acclimated. Go out when the sun's shining. Ski a couple hours in the morning and maybe a little bit after lunch, but don't ski all day, and don't try to overdo yourself and ski a black slope where you really are an intermediate, and ski in control, and ski with good updated equipment, including a helmet. So if you follow all of those common sense situations and don't ski with fatigue, then you're probably okay. Now, fatigue goes across the board in all youth sports the same way. And also that applies to other sports, recreational sports for adults too. Just like skiing, when you're fatigued skiing, that's when you get hurt. So fatigue is a big factor in injuries related to youth sports as well as lifetime recreation.
And yet coaches are there urging the kids to give more, give more, give more. You know, some of them are screaming at kids over not putting out when they're tired.
You know, that's coaching, though. That's what the word coaching means. So they're trying to there's a fine line between enough and too much, okay?
Yeah.
and that's where good coaches come in. The other factor that I want to mention, and I'll take this lead to tell you the other factor that's so important across the board in our public high schools in this country, that is we need certified athletic trainers in all of our public high schools, including our junior high schools. They're the people that provide first aid for sports types of injuries related to youth sports. And if we don't recognize those injuries early on, a minor injury that can be corrected by an athletic trainer becomes a major injury that has to be seen by an orthopedic surgeon and perhaps operated on.
Well, you know, I do agree with that because you just watch high school football and you see these kids lying on the field and somebody's coming out looking at them and really doing kind of a non-physician evaluation of a knee or a shoulder. And those people really do need to know what they're doing because they're making decisions about the kids going back in to the game or being taken to a hospital. You are the medical director of intercollegiate sports for Auburn University and the orthopedic consultant for the University of Alabama, and you're on the board of Little League Baseball. You really take this matter of youth sports and athletics seriously, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, for a long time, I must admit that as an orthopedic surgeon, we probably took more from sports than we put back. And finally, as you mature in your career, you realize, hey, this we've got to put something back into athletics. I finally realized that I had to do something to take the lead and put something back into athletics and back into sports medicine to help prevention rather than spending all my time fixing things and developing new surgical techniques. Prevention is much more important than what we do for technical advancements in surgery. So that's really what I've been working on for about the last 10 years.
On your website, you have suggestions and recommendations to parents. There is one site here that is titled How to Prevent and Spot Overuse Injuries in Kids. And this is what you said. I'm going to go down this list very quickly. To tell how you can tell if your child is injured. Many of them will let you know when they're hurt. But for those kids who try to tough it out, parents and caregivers should watch for signs of injury, such as they're avoiding putting weight on certain parts of the body, like the ankle or wrist, or they're favoring
common
one.
Common sense.
Yeah.
Common sense will tell you that.
Right, favoring one side of the body over the other, appearing to be in pain when using a particular body part, inability to sleep, shortness of breath, trouble breathing during activity. Headaches during and after activity, appearing to experience stiffness in the joints or muscles, dizziness or lightheadedness, difficulty sitting and or climbing stairs, inability to feel the fingers or toes, experiencing unusual weakness, irritated skin and or blisters, and you go on from there. When your child experiences sharp stabbing pain, he or she should stop the activity immediately and so on. You go on from there with a lot of very useful information on your website. How can they find it?
That website, I think that you're quoting, comes from our American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, which I was president of this past year. And that website is associated with our STOP programs. The STOP campaign, by the way, is Sports Trauma and Overuse Prevention in Youth Sports, STOP. But that website is www.stopsportsinjuries.org. We've got tip sheets on that STOP website about all the various sports. By the way, here's a good question for you, and we can bring this out by asking you. If you had your grandkids and you were trying to pick a sport to try to lead them into, provided that was their capability or their aptitude, and you wanted a sport that had the lowest injury rate for getting injured, what sport would you pick?
Well, I don't know because all of them that I played were dangerous, including basketball. I got my nose broken and I sprained my ankle 15 times, I guess. So I don't know which one would make sense.
Well, the sport that's has the lowest injury rate per participant is co-ed golf. But there are injuries in golf. I'm going to a big golf forum tomorrow down in Orlando to give a talk about golf injuries. But we've got injuries in golf too. let me ask you another question. What sport do you think leads in catastrophic injuries? Catastrophic injuries mean head neck injuries, concussions, deaths. What sport would you think leads in that category?
Would it be gymnastics?
Close. And some people say it's not a sport, but believe me, it's a sport. In fact, T-shirts worn by cheerleaders says if football was any harder, they'd call it cheerleading.
Uh-huh.
But cheerleading is completely out of control. There are no rules and regulations. They have improper practice conditions. They don't have adequate spotters. And the stunts that they're doing lead to the number one catastrophic injuries in all of the athletic endeavors. For example, in the last 20 years, there were some close to 70 catastrophic injuries in cheerleading, and some of these were deaths.
By catastrophic, you mean quadriplegia?
Quadriplegic, brain hemorrhage, you know, deaths. There were, I think, in that group, there were three or four deaths from cheerleading.
All right. Since your objective is to help parents help their kids avoid these injuries, if a girl is going to go out for cheerleading, they should at least check out the circumstances that you just talked about and whether there is adequate supervision and if the routines that are done are going to be dangerous and maybe keep them out of it.
Now, I'm one to talk because all three of my girls were cheerleaders.
Huh.
But when my girls were involved in cheerleading, I made sure my wife was involved with it, and I made sure, number one, we raised money to buy them the proper mats to practice on. Otherwise, they were practicing on concrete. We made sure that they had proper supervision. We made sure they had an athletic trainer there to take care of them. We made sure that they were involved with the proper coaching techniques and had proper spotting and proper equipment to learn how to do the tumbling maneuvers. And still we had injuries, by the way, with my three girls. I'd much rather them be involved in something they enjoy doing sports-wise than be involved in some other things that they could be involved in as young adults that would be not near as healthy.
Dr. Andrews, you mentioned a few minutes ago that I might be of help to you in getting these professional trainers and others at the high school and junior high level, and I guess maybe college too, but they're probably there already. Tell me how I can help, and I'd be glad to do so.
Well, I think what we're doing today, and we've got to go to the grassroots level. We've got to get people interested in this problem, interested in what they can do to help make sports safe for their kids. And we get a swelling up at the grassroots level. We have a voice in our government. Then we can get the message all the way up the ladder. Recognition of injuries and prevention is the key factor in the educational aspects of an athletic trainer. They're the on the line helpers for first aid and prevention for our youth kids.
Well, our guest has been Dr. James Andrews for these two programs. And Dr. Andrews, if I had to try to put into a single sentence your message, it is that parents who are more mature and obviously love their kids have a major responsibility to lessen the risk of injury in their children. They should not put the prospects of a pro career or even a college career ahead of the physical best interest of the child. They should stay in touch with them in terms of their physical infirmities and be in touch with the coach and understand the equipment and the training techniques that are being used. The parents just have a big job to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, you're deeply committed to Jesus Christ, aren't you?
Absolutely. You know, I finally figured out in my career and got my priorities in order. And, of course, your number one priority is to your faith and to your family. And then, of course, you're in priority, of course, becomes your profession and your life's work.
Huh. Those
but
are
remember,
pretty...
your faith and your family are number one.
That's the priority that I've tried to live by, and we've taught here on Family Talk, and we will continue to do so. Hope to see you again down the road someplace.
All right. Well, great. Appreciate being with you.
We appreciate you being here, too. If you'd like to hear more about the Stop Sports Injuries Program or Dr. Andrews, come to MyFamilyTalk.com. We have links to his organizations as well as some links to tips that are going to help you keep your kids injury-free in sports. Again, it's MyFamilyTalk.com. And with 30 million kids and teens participating in sports, I'm sure you can think of someone that could benefit from this program. Call us for a copy of the CD. We'd love to pass it along to you so that you can give it to your friends. Our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us today, and make plans to be with us next time.